Yeah, we're going to go ahead and do communion first.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, because we're hungry.
That's right. God is good. I like that second song we sang because, you know, God is the only actor in the world and the universe. He's the only one that does wondrous. It even says in Psalms, he's the only one that does wondrous works. So whatever work is done in this world that is perfect, that is good and holy and righteous, is from God. Amen. Even in your life. So God is awesome.
Amen.
He is the only one to be. That's why he's the only one that's worthy of praise, to be magnified. And that's why we rest every day in this work that he did. Father, we thank you for today's bread, that Jesus is actually the bread of life, that takes away the sins of the world. And that's the first article, that's the first thing, that's the gospel. That Jesus came to save sinners, he came to take away sins once and for all. There's no other sacrifice. He was sacrificed once and for all to take away all of our sins. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed all of our sins from us. So we thank you for that. We thank you on the night that he was betrayed. He took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks because he knew that his body, that soon, that very next day it would begin. That he would suffer and die for our sins, and that his blood would be shed on the cross, and that it would be finished. So, Father, we do now take the bread and thank you for that his body was broken for us. So let's take the bread. Thank you, Jesus, his body. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. There's power in the blood to forgive sins, to impute all. Jesus' righteousness to us, and all of our sin was imputed to him. What a great exchange. So we thank you for the blood. We thank you that the blood, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we thank you, Father God, that blood did everything. Forgave us our sins, cleansed us from all unrighteousness, washed us clean, whiter than snow. So we thank you for that. And we take the cup now, the cup of the blood, of the covenant, the New Testament, in Jesus' name. So we take it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for healing us.
Hallelujah.
Not only that word cleanse in the Bible also means that we're cleansed from all our diseases. So, Father, you've forgiven all of our sins, cleansed us from all of our diseases. You have sanctified us, and that you're doing a work in us every day until Jesus comes back and we see him. We'll be like him because we'll see him as he is, and it'll be done. It'll be the end of our faith. And that's Jesus' job, and he's doing it, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I think there's a little bit still in there. Oh, good. All right, God's able. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now, I just I read it along many, many times, I'm sure, over the years, but I just saw it in a different light this week related to he's the only actor.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 kind of summarize. Really, I mean, you can read it another way, but I just read it. He's the only actor. For by grace you've been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God.
Amen.
Okay. He's the only actor.
Yeah.
Not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Yep.
Us where we should be, and he where he is.
Yeah.
But 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for good works.
Amen.
Which God, though, prepared beforehand.
Amen.
That we should walk in there.
That's good.
So I think
that's perfect.
Pretty much just
sums up the whole thing, yeah.
anything that I just read this, which he had prepared beforehand. Well, my goodness. So all this stuff we're doing, these chairs or whatever, it's inconsequential. It's not even a. It's just stuff.
Right.
Now, anything that he works through me that I really hardly even know what's going on, that is a good work. And a lot of times we just don't.
Yeah.
This may or may not be a good work that I'm doing now. I don't know.
Right.
I have no way of knowing.
Yeah, just took by faith.
I have a sense that because it's kind of tied to three verses.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's the way this whole walk is. I mean, the rest of the day will be totally confusing unless you have faith, which is a gift.
Yeah.
And a verse, which is a promise.
Yep.
Outside of that, I can't get any much. I can't get much more clean in terms of this and this.
Right.
Anyway.
That's good. That's actually a verse I shared with Pastor Jim and the guys just a couple Mondays ago. The exact same verse in Ephesians.
Where he's prepared the word.
Actually, all those verses, because that's the act. That's the, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So he does all the works.
Yeah.
Which gives us freedom and rest. I just love that when that God has called us to rest. And even though we're busy and we're doing a bunch of stuff and all that, we're still at rest because we're peaceful, because we don't have any agenda except for Jesus. Even my job, even I have my own business, and even my job, what I do isn't, it's just the way I make money, how God provides. It's not who I am or, if you're a lawyer or a doctor, whatever you were, that's not really who you are. That's just what you do to provide. Because God says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat, so a man's got to work. You just do it by faith. Every day I go to work, it's just sure by faith. I'm not trying to be rich or not be rich. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just doing what God tells me to do. Okay, God, you want me to work today? Yeah, he wants me to work, of course, because I got to provide for my family. So I just do it by faith. I love my wife by faith. I love my kids by faith. I love Jesus by faith because I don't see them. No one has ever seen the Lord. No one. I know it seems like they have because, Moses and all that, but they didn't really see the Lord. If you see the Lord, then you die. So we're just doing it all by faith. And it's just in faith in this word. Just what it said, like you just read in Ephesians. It's just by faith. If God says he's the only actor in the world, then he's the only actor. He says he's the only one that does wondrous works, then he's the only one that does wondrous works. So he's the one that does everything. Now, I want to give you some good news today, because basically all we do every week, I do it every day, is I just go over the gospel, because it's good news. And I need it every day, because every day I've sinned, every day I've forgotten. So every morning I wake up and I shout. The Bible says, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Every day you've triumphed. Every day God has triumphed for you. So you're in triumph.
Amen.
So you have to begin your day that way. Don't begin by confessing your sin or, checking out the newspaper and all that kind of stuff. Always begin your day with the Lord. Then everything will work out okay, because you already have the victory. The Bible says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. So as soon as I wake up, I always remember, today is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I already got the victory. Yeah. Christ already gave me all the victory. So I'm in victory already. I'm barely awake, but I'm already victorious. So that's a good way to start the day. That way your day goes way better. Not that your circumstances will be better, but you'll be at peace and joy. You'll be at rest because you've already got the victory.
Right.
I've already triumphed in Christ. I don't even understand that. I'm just reading. I'm going, I don't know what it is all that entails, but it sounds really good. And plus, I could just fake it if I wanted to, because I'm not, like Dan said, I'm not worried about doing a good work or not doing a good work. Who cares? That's God's deal. Even Jesus said, the works I do, I don't do them. My Father in heaven does them. But today I wanted to talk about, because I've been meditating on this, about cleansing. Now in the Old Testament, of course, they had to clean, everything had to be cleansed by the blood. Everything had to be sprinkled with blood and everything. There was washings and there was all kinds of stuff that had to be cleaned to be kosher, to be sanctified. But it was all ceremonial stuff, and it was all type and shadow of what God does in our life. Even when Jesus, remember in John chapter 13, Jesus girded himself, took his shirt off, whatever they had back then, on the robe, whatever, and he girded himself, and he was washing the disciples' feet. And remember when he got to Peter, Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, not me. My goodness, you are, you know, the Messiah." You know, he didn't say this, but I could just imagine him thinking, "Oh my, you know, Jesus is awesome, and I'm just a fisherman. So I'm don't wash my feet. I need to wash your feet." But Jesus said, "Look, unless I wash your feet, then you have no part of me." Mm-hmm. And so he said, "Oh, not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Wash that too. If that's the case." Now, Peter, I'm just like Peter. I've done the same thing. And I would have denied Jesus. And you think you wouldn't? You probably think you wouldn't, but you would. Because it's scary. When they're coming to kill you and chop your head off or whatever they're going to do, then it's scary. You don't know what you'll do. But you'll be okay, because God is, just like he did Peter, he forgave him and all that. But anyway, so Peter, that cleansing or that washing of the feet, she said, "Look, no, I only need to wash your feet because you're clean through the Word. Now you're washed, even though you're born again, which is, by the way, is permanent. I'm not arguing that once saved, always saved, or any of those kind of doctrine. I'm just saying it's permanent. Jesus died. You are saved to the uttermost. Those that come to God by Him. He is the high priest. He is the only sacrifice, once and for all." So your sins have been forgiven once and for all. Now that's you. That's who you are. You're a new creation. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So you're not Jew and you're not Gentile. You're a new creation. It says that twice in the book of Galatians. It says it in other places too, but you're not. Paul is trying to make it see, look, you're not going to be saved by works or because of your ancestry background or because you're a Jew or you're a Gentile. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So whether you're Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. You're a new creation. Amen. Which is awesome. Because you would think that a Gentile might be a second-class citizen or just kind of get in by, you know, whatever. But no, that's God was planned from the beginning. From the beginning of the beginning, before the foundations of the world, that was God's plan. But God uses people. In his wisdom, he does. I don't see it, but he does. People are no good, right? But I want to read out of 1 John. I want to talk a little bit more about this cleansing. Cleansing takes place right away. Even though you have been imputed, your righteousness has been imputed, it's a done deal. You will never be better than you are right now.
Yeah.
There's no self-improvement. You're not going to improve yourself or become a better moral person. It doesn't work that way. So you're cleansed and washed from all your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is no work. It's like he just read that scripture in Ephesians. You are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift. It's just a gift. God just gave it to you as a promise. Because he promised he would give it to you. Now, cleansing is a very interesting word. It includes a lot of stuff. Not just cleansing from your sins, but all it means is you're just clean. It's just like when you clean your house. It's just getting rid of filth. And in a spiritual sense, it's just getting rid of all your sin. So that it's not just imputed to you or given to you as a gift. It's actual. You could actually do a good work, like Daniel said, but it's Jesus doing it. But you could actually be cleansed from all your sin. You could actually not be fearful. You could actually not be depressed. You could actually be not, you know, get not be prideful or whatever. But even though it comes up every day, God's still cleansing you. He's, and I'm going to read that in a minute. He forgives you of all your sins and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And the word cleanse is katharizo. It's a Greek word, and it means to purify, to purge, or to clean, or to cleanse. And it, that's the simplest form of it, but it also means way more than that. It actually, there's actually that word, it comes up a lot, it is rest. So God's cleansing you because he's doing all the cleansing. You're not doing any cleaning. You're not going to clean your sin up. You're not going to clean your life up. It's just not ever going to happen. It's going to happen through his word by faith. But he does it. I don't know how he does it. He just does it. Okay, so 1 John, and this is the first chapter. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Talking about the word of life is Jesus. Jesus was a word made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the word. He's our peace. Jesus is everything. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it. I mean, we actually saw it. And we bear witness and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto the Son. So it was with the Father, but it was from the foundations of the world, and we don't even understand that. People try to, you're not going to understand that. All the works were done from the foundations of the world. Jesus died, was crucified before the worlds were even created. How do we even know that? You can't check that out. You can't, you know, go find a fossil or a piece of the cross or whatever. But that's just the way the Bible says, because there's no time in heaven. God's not limited to time and space and all that kind of thing. So, but everything was already done before the world was even made. And that is awesome. Okay. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that also you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's truly your fellowship. Your fellowship is predicated on your relationship with the Lord, not on, you know, knowing somebody. Well, I really got to know so-and-so, and they're a friend of mine. That's not that interesting. What's interesting about Dan and me is we can have fellowship because of Jesus. Because we're brothers. We've been bought with the price. We're in fellowship with one another. We're a church. Two people as a church. Ecclesia, it's where two, you know, we've been born from above. Dan's no longer Dan. I'm no longer Danny. We've been bought with a price. We're new creations. And that's what gives us fellowship. Right? And you can have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with one another. But first with the Father and the Son, because that's where all fellowship comes from. My relationship with my wife is based on Jesus only. I mean, it's not, there's no, you know, you just can't do it in the flesh. It just doesn't work. Okay. And the things which we write unto you, that your joy may be full. That's why the Bible's written. So that your joy may be full, that you might have peace that passes all understanding. It's all good news. It's all good news. If you read something in the Bible and it makes you depressed, you read it completely wrong. The Bible is always good because it's always about Jesus. It's always how great he is and how wonderful he is and how awesome he is and how he's done, like Dan said, read that scripture, God is the only actor, he's the only one that does anything in the world that's done. Any wondrous work that's done in the world, God did it. He's the only one that does wondrous works. Man cannot, without him you can do nothing. But with him you can do all things. So God is the only one that does good. That way, you can easily love people because they're exactly like you. Everybody is exactly like you. So you can love them because that's how you love people. You say, man, even though they just did that evil deed or whatever, I love them because I'm just as evil. And you have to see that in order to love. Those who are forgiven much, love much. If you have been forgiven a lot, like Jesus died for you, you were such an awful person, an awful sinner, that Jesus had to die for you. Well, that's pretty bad. But God did it. He did it willingly and lovingly, and he loved it. He was like, man, you know, Raul, I'm just, you know, he's a sinner. He just sins all the time. But God loves him, forgave him. It's not only that, he's working in him.
Amen.
He's not going to leave him. He's not just going to forgive his sins. He's going to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. All. That's a promise. And he'll do it. You know why he'll do it? Not only is he doing it in you right now, present, this present moment, but when he's going to do it until he comes back, and then it'll be complete. Because he promised. He said he'll confirm you to the end. He will begin a good work in you, he'll finish it. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. So when he comes back, it'll be done. It'll all be finished. But in the meantime, he's doing it. It's neat because you're kind of getting a Head Start program. You're kind of getting it all going. So every day, you're being cleansed. Even though you're clean, like he told Peter, said, Peter, look, you're clean through the word. All you just need your feet washed. And that's us. That's a picture of what we, and we're to do that the other. We're to disciple people and to preach the word of God and to, you know, and do all the things that God tells us to do so that, and it's only, it has one purpose. There's only one agenda God has in this world, and that's sin. He gets rid of sin. That's what he does. He's awesome. He forgives sin and he cleanses it. That's what God does. That's his thing. You would think his thing was to do signs and wonders or do something else, but that's not. Even that is just to show forth his glory and how awesome he is so he can forgive sinners. That's God's way. And it even says in the Revelation, when the fullness of Gentiles come in, the fullness of the Gentiles come in and it's over. But obviously it hasn't happened yet because it's not over yet. But anyway, in things which arise to you, that your joy may be full, this is the message which you have heard from him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, bring everything to the light. Bring everything to the light. That's one thing I've always liked about being a Christian, is that you can be brutally honest or just brutally open with yourself in the presence of the Lord, and just tell him exactly the way you think it is. Of course, the way you think it is not right, but that's okay, God. You have to come boldly to the throne of grace, boldly, and just tell God, this is my life. You know, all this trash and garbage, and then God has to clean it up. He has to wash your feet, because that's what he does. And yet it humbles you, because, you know, the God of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ himself, is washing your feet. Isn't that amazing? That amazes me. I'm just like, God, you have forgiven me everything already. I mean, just the fact that I get all the heritage, I get all the promise, I get everything that Abraham got, is amazing to me. But not only do you do that, you cleanse me from all unrighteousness, so my joy might be full. God wants you to walk in fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. That's not just being like, I'm happy because I won the lottery or something. This is fullness of joy. This is way deeper than that. Or I'm happy because I'm rich or I have a bunch of stuff. Oops. Or because this microphone is broken or something. So all the things that everything in this world that you see is just temporal. Even our own bodies, even you look at your face in the mirror, that's just all temporal. That's not how God knows you. God does not respect the face of a man. That's actually what the word, God does not respect, is not a respecter of persons. That's actually what it means in the Greek. It means God does not, he does not consider the face. He doesn't care what you look like or what how you think or whatever. He's just interested in you because he loves you. And he's and he's cleansing you from all. Now listen to this, it even gets better. So you're walking in the light, but if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Remember I just said God is able, because he's the high priest. Jesus is the high priest. He's able to save us to the uttermost, those that come to God by him. So it's done. When I got born again way back in 1983 or whatever, my life was over. My life as I knew it, and I knew it was true, was over. And I was a new creation. I had a whole new life. I found a new life. Whole new life. And it was to the uttermost. It wasn't just like, you know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop cussing and drinking and chewing and going with those that do. It wasn't anything like that. It was, I knew my life was over. And it was. My friends were all over. My family, everything was over. I had not one friend. Even Larry, my buddy in Fort Worth, he was in Houston at the time. So I had no friends. I had no nothing. Everybody hated me instantly. But it didn't matter. Man, new creation, that's way better than having friends or having, you know, whatever, family and all that. It's way better. So we have joy unspeakable and full of glory because Jesus not only forgave us all of our sins, which is who you are, but he's also taken it all away. As far as the east is from the west, that's pretty far. He has removed our sins from us. All of our burdens, all of our sin, he's cast into the sea. He doesn't even enter remember no more. And not only that, then he starts cleansing us every day. Every day he's purging us, cleansing us, so that we can be like him, so we could walk in the light as he's in the light, so that the world can see that there's a God. You know, the world's not impressed with, you know, our doctrine and all that kind of stuff. They don't even want to know about it. But if you love somebody, somebody gets healed, or they see that there's a God's real, then he's real. And I don't even know how I got saved. I never saw a miracle. I didn't even know what doctrine was. I didn't even know what the Bible said. I'd never even read the Bible. But when I got saved, I just knew it was true. I don't know how I even knew that. But I just go, man. Well, I grew up Catholic, so I knew something, but not very little. But I just knew. So God has different ways. He has different ways to bring people to the Lord, a dream, whatever. Okay, so verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I just got saying that God took away our sins from the east is from the west. This isn't talking about that. This isn't talking about it. This is talking about your life in this world. Where we live right now in this world, we're just living by faith. Faith is only for this world. That's how we live. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So that's how we live in this world. We live by faith and we have hope. I have hope that Jesus is coming back. I'm not just hoping like, I'm hope so, he's coming back. That's the kind of hope it is. I might know for sure, he's coming back. That's my hope. And I have an inheritance in heaven that's laid up for me. Inheritance. Whatever that is, it's awesome. And it's whatever we're hoping for. That's the end. When we get to the end, when Jesus comes back, then we inherit all things, just like Jesus does. And then everything goes back to the Father. And it's over. And then we live eternity with Jesus, and it's going to be way better than you can even ask or think. Isn't that our hope? My hope is that. My hope is not in, I'm going to become a better person, or I'm going to, you know, get a better job, or, you know, I don't even care about that stuff. My hope is in heaven. Your life is hid with Christ and God. That's your hope. So you're no longer of this world. You're no longer a natural person. You're spiritual. You've been born again. So So God, when Jesus says he's cleansing you from, let me read it real quick. If we confess our sins, if we say we have no sin, we are liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Faithful. Jesus is faithful and just. Isn't that funny? It says just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, well, let me read this again. I think I went too many pages. So yeah, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. So God is not, he's not concerned about our sin, except for, because Jesus got rid of it all by his blood, by the cross. And now he's sanctified. All this is talking about is justification and sanctification. All it's talking about is you have been justified by faith. That's what I was talking about earlier. That's why I want you to remember, always come, start your day with victory. If you start off your day confessing your sin, you start off your day worried about your, you know, all the evil things you've done or whatever, or your fear, or you're fearful, or you're depressed, or whatever, then you won't have victory in that, you know, in your over your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, because your mind, your will, and your emotions are your three biggest idols in your life, the things that you idolize. Well, I'm smart. That's not that interesting. There's no matter how smart you are, there's always somebody smarter. So you're not going to win there. Well, I just want that. You don't even know what you want. You don't know how smart you are. You don't know what you want. You don't even know your emotions. If you want to be happy or sad or depressed or whatever. So God, you have to ask God. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. It says to, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And I just say, I don't even know what I'm saying, but I just say stuff like that in the morning. Even though I don't know if I mean it or I don't mean it or I'm sincere. I don't even care about that. I just go, God, not my will today, but yours be done. God, I'm happy today. I have joy unspeakable, full of glory. And my mind is being renewed day by day because I read your word. I'm being washed by the word, washing of the water of the word. But I'm not trying to figure it out or have a sermon or have something I can do. I don't have any agenda. I have no law. You know, it's interesting in the book of Galatians, it'll list in chapter 6, it'll list the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, against such things there is no law. So you realize every day you're not under any law or any obligation to do anything. You are free. You are totally free. And I always say, God, today, you know, I always say, today, God, I am free to do good. I am free to read my Bible. I'm free to do whatever you called me to do. I'm free. I'm free to have love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance. There's no law against it. There's no law. If there was a law made that could bring righteousness, could bring life, then righteousness would have been by the law, but it's not by the law. You will never become righteous by doing a good work or by doing anything. The only way you're righteous is by the blood. Jesus is your only righteousness, period. Does not add to it or anything. It's just Jesus is your righteousness, him only, and it's forever. He saved me to the uttermost. He gave me eternal life. Eternal life means forever. So if he's given you eternal life, then the only thing left to do is for you to be sanctified. Willingly letting God do that in your life because you're born again. You know, it's not like, well, I'm saved now so I can just sin and be forgiven. You know, that's an interesting way to live, but it's not biblical. We love people and love God because he first loved us. And he's doing a work in us. He began a good work in us. We're his workmanship, Ephesians. Dan just read it. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's just who you are. And that's what John, Paul, all the apostles, Peter, that wrote all these epistles are talking about. This is who you are. Okay, you're a Christian now. You love Jesus. You got born again. You have eternal life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. That's just all of encouragement. That's just all to tell you who you are. So that you can have fellowship with the Son and with the Father. With the Father and with the Son, with the Holy Spirit also. Because He's in us too. So we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that came and lived, that dwells inside of it. As a matter of fact, whenever the Bible says you have an anointing from the Holy One, you don't need anybody to teach. That's the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. It's not like a special thing you get, you know, like they did in the Old Testament, New Testament. It's just the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Do this, do that. Don't say this, say this. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit's saying to you. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and He's anointing you to do whatever you need to do, whatever God's called you to do, which God has called everybody in this room to do something. And it's spiritual. It's not just something carnal. It's not just something not spiritual. It's spiritual because you're a spiritual person. So when you do nursery or you do anything for God, or I'm talking about the things that we would say were probably mundane, or swept the floor or put the chairs out or did whatever, that's spiritual. That's not just a carnal thing. Because God looks at that. He just wants everybody to do what He's called them to do. And He loves everybody exactly. Your value, dignity, value, and worth is exactly the same as everybody else. Pastor Jim, Joel, name all the big ministers. Robert, you can name all the big ministers in this country and stuff, but you're exactly the same. No matter what you do for a living or what you do for, you know, if you're married or not married, whatever, your dignity and value of worth is only people make those distinctions. Only if I saw a street person in the gutter, people think, well, thank God I'm not like that person, or thank God I'm not. I do thank God, by the way, that I'm not like him, because I don't want to live. I would die if I lived in the street, probably. But you know what I mean. We think, well, I'm better than that person. And we all do. I mean, I think that. We all think that. Or, why does that person not understand this or in the Bible? I mean, is this so clear? Why do they act like that? Or, you know, we're just always making judgments of other people. And we even judge ourselves. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. Don't judge you. Just read the Bible. Whatever it says, that's the way it is. It doesn't look like it, though, because you're not always going to look. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. I'm telling you, it doesn't. It looks like we're not triumphing over our enemies. It looks like all of our enemies are winning. You know, God, how come you're not doing this? How come I'm depressed all the time? How come I'm fearful? How come I'm, you know, this, that, and the other thing? How come I'm sick all the time? You just got to begin to let this word cleanse you. The word of God, that's what cleanses you. But the word of God is actually Jesus. It's not dead letter. It's spiritual. This letter is, it's not just dead letter. It's the living word of God that changes you. Not the black ink on the page. That's not what is interesting. It is interesting. But what's interesting is God makes it alive. That Jesus has fellowship with you and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And He makes that word like He did with Dan when he was reading it. It comes alive to you. Like, I can read the Bible all day, then it might just be one verse. I'm like, wow! And then it's alive to you. Then you'll never let it go. Like when I was reading Psalms, and that word about only God does wondrous works, and then you can't explain it to people. And it is. It's hard to explain it sometimes, even to your wife. You hear something and you see it so clear in the Bible, and you know the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, but you almost can't even talk about it because you don't even know what you're talking about. You just go, man, that is good, God. You're just like really excited, but you don't know. Sometimes you're just like, well, I don't even know how to explain it, or Like the other day, I was reading the Bible, and I just thought about our salvation, how it is so fixed and permanent. And I have tons of scriptures I read. And that's the victory. Our victory is that every day. So we come, our life, Jesus Christ, is no other foundation can be laid. So that foundation in our life is why we can shout every day, why we can have victory every day. And then God just builds on that. I mean, you can't build on anything else. You can only build that foundation is Jesus himself who saved us by his blood. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our life even unto death. And that's how we overcome this world. Just those three things. It's so simple. Just don't love your life. Your life is not that interesting. My life is not that great. In the flesh, I'm talking about the natural. But my life is because I have Jesus. He's given me life and life abundantly. But that's not that's not the life it's talking about. You're going to lose your life. That means you're going to lose your soul. Jesus not only lost his, died in his flesh, but his soul died. It's a soul thing. Paul said, I die daily. He's talking about his soul. He's not just talking about his body. He's talking about he's dying to his own will. He's dying to his own emotions. He's dying to his own mind. You got to die to all that stuff. It's not that great because you're not that great. Even though you think you are. We all think we're awesome. You know, I used to run, those 26-mile marathons. I ran a lot of them when I was younger. And when you're young, you think you are awesome. And so I thought I was awesome. A lot of other people did too, so I was pretty proud of myself. But anyway, so when I became a Christian, instantly that was not interesting to me anymore. So I didn't stop running completely, but I didn't run stuff. I just wasn't interested in it anymore. And all the stuff I did when I was not a Christian, I wasn't interested anymore. And I still, to this day, I'm working on stuff. We all are. But we think, you know, because we're trying to find a niche in our life. I don't even know how to explain it. But when you don't know the Lord, and you can't think of eternal things, you got to have some kind of niche in this life where you belong to something. That's why people join the Boy Scouts or clubs, or not that it's wrong to do that, but are they? Like I was in a running club, and people join. I don't know whatever. There's all kinds of stuff people can join: acting school, cooking. Because people in all kinds of hobbies, and some people are addicted to their career and are whatever, are addicted to partying and all that kind of stuff. But when we get but when we give our life to the Lord and God begins to work on those, we die to all those things. But that's the superficial stuff. The stuff he really is killing you about is your mind and your will and your emotions. Those things are being cleansed. You know, Christianity is not a better way to be moral or a better way to be good. It's not that at all. It's a whole new life. You ever hear that song, I found a new life? It's a whole new life. It's not just a way of thinking or a way of... I remember when we worked, Lee and I worked at Lena Pope Home. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's like at the time, it was... I don't know if it's changed since then. It probably hasn't, but it's a... It used to be an orphanage way back in the day, and then it became a residential treatment facility, and Lee and I were family teachers there. And all they cared about with Christianity was they liked us to take the girls to church because they thought it would help them be more moral or it would better their behavior. But God's not interested in that. It's good to be moral. It's good to be. I mean, it's good to be good. It's good to have good behavior and all that stuff. But I'm just saying that's not what God's interested in. God's interested in how good your behavior is and all. He's interested in Him doing it. He's interested in giving you a new life, a whole new life. You're a new creation, and then you begin to pursue God. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners. You know. Everybody knows that scripture, but it's really God doing it. That's why you got to read the Bible. You can't read the Bible like I don't know. you just got to, you can't read it by the letter. You got to ask God. That's why God added this little thing to it. So you have to add this little holy thing to it. That's why we have Jesus living inside of us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all living inside of us, so that when we read the Bible, it becomes alive to us, because it's bearing witness with our spirit. It's bearing witness. It's not just some dead letter. I mean, people that are not Christians can read the Bible and get some kind of moral thing out of it. They do it all the time. Even the liberals will talk about, loving your neighbor. Jesus said, love your neighbor. You know, imitate Jesus. And all that kind of stuff. But you can't do that. It's got to be a relationship. It's got to be something way deeper than that. Where Jesus himself is cleansing you from all unrighteousness. Where Jesus himself is doing everything. The blood of Jesus is cleansing you from all unrighteousness. And that he not only saved you permanently fixed forever, but he also is saving you every day by you dying to your own will. And I see it every day in my life and other people's lives, that people love their will. They want to do what they want to do. They love their own emotions. They want to be sad when they want to be, however they want to feel. They want to be depressed. They want to be whatever. Well, I deserve to be depressed because, or I deserve to be mad because, you know, whatever the thing is. But no, you got to die to all that. Into your own intellect, how smart you are, how brilliant you are. I grew up in a home where my dad kind of came from a background, kind of a hillbilly out in, you know, his family. He lived in St. Louis area, but his family kind of migrated from the Appalachian Mountains. As a matter of fact, his parents, they were like, they did hoedowns, you know, they had the all that kind of fiddle and the banjo and all that kind of stuff. My grandma played the guitar. I think my grandpa played the fiddle. But anyway, I don't know why my dad didn't get any of that talent. None of us have that talent. Titus might. But anyway, what point was I going to make? I can't remember. I lost track.
Did your dad and your mom?
What?
Your mom was very educated.
Oh, yeah. But my mom, on the other hand, was very highly educated and very brilliant. She was like a genius. And then, I mean, literally, she was a genius. And then my brother, Joe, who's a year older than me, he got the same thing. And all of his sons, they're all just like, I mean, off the charts brilliant. I think one of his sons even aced the SAT. I mean, they're just brilliant, just unbelievably smart. Artists, you know, they're kind of like Pastor Jim, a little bit like Pastor Jim. But their lives are a total disaster because they, you know, that's their genre, that's what makes them tick, you know, that's their life. But it can't be that way. You got to die to all that. Jesus is our life. I'm telling you, Jesus is your only life. You have no other life apart from him. None. I don't care what you think you got or you don't have. If you think you're low, well, you're high. If you think you're high, then you're low. Like if you think you're awesome or something, then you're really low. But if you're too low, don't be too low either. Don't get depressed and sad and all that kind of stuff, because there's no reason to be. Jesus did everything for you. You've entered into his rest. And that your warfare is over. Your life is over. Like I was telling you, when I got born again, I knew my life was over. I just knew. I don't know how I knew. I didn't even read the Bible yet. Well, I did read the New Testament before I got saved, but I didn't understand. I don't think I even understood a single word of it. Isn't that weird? I read the whole New Testament, and I still had to ask the guy that was witnessing to me. I go, how do you do it? How's it done? I mean, what do I got to do? Well, just tell me what I got to do and I'll do it, whatever you got to do. I still didn't understand it. So that just goes to show you that you can read the Bible and it doesn't help. Unless it does for us, though. Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not under any law. So I'm not reading the book like it's a law anymore. I don't read it at all like it's a law. Ever. I just read it like it's promise. I'm always reading my Bible. Here's how I read my Bible. I'm reading my Bible in the morning. Going, thank you, Jesus. You know, you better love your wife as Christ. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. I love my wife as Christ. And I just take it all as a promise.
You have to.
Don't commit murder. Thank you, Jesus. I don't commit murder. Golly, thank you, Jesus. It's a promise. So everything in the Bible is a promise. It has to be. He gave it to Abraham. I tell you what, I read the book of Galatians literally almost every single day, the whole, all six chapters, because I need it every day. I'm like, because I don't want to be, because I grew up Catholic. I was legal. I was a law person.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even close to doing it, and I knew I wasn't. I knew I was going to hell. I knew it. I had dreams about going to hell. But because I knew the liturgical Catholic thing, I knew it legalistically only. I could say it, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. I could say the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed, and all those things. But it was meaningless. It meant nothing to me at all. But when I got saved, oh man, especially when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, I'm telling you, this word came alive.
Yeah.
I mean, Leah has a testimony about that. She grew up Baptist, and when she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, the word just came alive. It's a spirit. This is a spiritual thing. It's not just dead letter. It's not just something. God gave this to us as a gift. He wrote it in such a way you have to know Him to understand it. And you have to understand it to know Him. It's all mixed together, but it's that when you read the Bible, you don't read it as dead letter or just like sometimes in the morning I'll read Psalms. I start off reading Psalms, but if I'm thinking about something else, I'll repent. I'll say, Jesus, I read that whole thing and I can't remember one thing I read. So I go back and read it again. And this time I read it out loud, and I read it with, I just fake it, but I don't care. Jesus didn't worry. I just read it with a little bit of gusto. Like when I'm reading it quiet to myself, I'm almost asleep. I'm just barely awake. I'm reading it, you know. And then I go, no, this is important. I need to know something. Maybe God's going to speak to me in one of these Psalms. I'm going to read it. So then I read it out loud, and I go, God, so I forgive me, Lord, for thinking about work or thinking about this or that or the other thing. I want to know what you're saying. So then I'll read it again, and then almost every time I'll get something out of it. You know, like this morning I was reading Psalms, and the same thing happened. It almost always does every morning. But I had to go back and I had to look at it. I go, God, you got to show me something here. And normally He'll give me a song or a scripture that just changes my whole day and changes how I think, changes my emotions. It changes my mind and my will and all that. Because that stuff is all fickle. Every day, your mind and your will and your emotions get all confused. Not your spirit. Your spirit's always okay because you're a spiritual being. Everybody say, I'm spiritual.
Sure.
You're not natural anymore. You're not a natural human being. Although you are. I know that. I mean, now we live in this world, but we're not of the world. But we're spiritual. And the world's not. They're not spiritual. They're just fleshly. They just do what they do. So we're different. We're dying to all that. We've been taken out of the world, literally transferred out of the kingdom of darkness. Because all that's in the world is less flesh, less the eyes, and boast for pride of life. And that's God's. Like I said, that's God's only agenda. Get rid of sin, then you solve every problem. Sin is the only problem in the world. It's the only problem. It's not economics or politics or bad church, good church, and all that kind of thing. The only problem in the world is sin. People want to do it. They hate God, and they rebel. And our flesh does too. My flesh does not like God. My flesh wants to live. You know, the flesh goes down fighting. So you just have to kill it every day with the Word of God. Every day, just read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, and read it. Even if you have to fake it, just read it with excitement. Jesus. And what I do, I don't like using my phone or electronics when I read my Bible. I like to use these books, and I use the Interlinear Bible, and I use my concordance, and I got my 1828 dictionary out. Because while I'm doing all this stuff, because I'm not that smart, so I'm looking up stuff, then I can talk to Jesus while I'm turning the pages and say, oh, Jesus, thank you. This is awesome, you know, whatever. So I'm talking to him. I don't want to do it really fast. I don't want to do anything fast. Because you can ask my wife, in the natural, I'm real spazzy, and I can't sit down for very long, can I, Leah? I'm like my son Titus. I got to be moving all the time. That's why I got the perfect job, because I'm moving all the time when I'm working, doing physical work. But so when I read my Bible and stuff, and even when I pray, I like to walk and stuff like that. I don't think God is upset about that. But I read my Bible, and I like to turn the pages. I just like to hold something in my hand. I don't know why it's like, life just like that. But I just think sometimes, like, oh man, we're just too fast to go through things. Like, you know, we don't take our time and just love Jesus and just let the Word soak into our brain, into our soul, and all that. And I don't know, God just does it. He's amazing. He's working in you. I didn't really get into the word cleanse that much, but God is not only forgiven us all of our sins. And that's your victory. Your victory every day is that you're born again, that you're a new creation. That's your victory. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That means before you see it. Remember children of Israel when they went to the first place they went? They had to conquer, what was that place called? Help me out. You know, they marched around 7 days.
Yeah, Jericho.
I don't know why I couldn't think of that. My brain freeze. So anyway, Jericho. But they had to do all the shouting first and all that. But our testimony is even better than that. It's better. Because your enemies the devil's already defeated. He is defeated. And you have triumphed. Jesus has triumphed gloriously. So when you're shouting the victory, you've already won. You've already won the victory. You've already won the day. You ever hear that saying? We won the day. Or seize the day. That's part of it. Yeah, but I've heard somebody say, we won the day because we defeated the enemy. And all. But you've already won the day right off the bat. Your day's already victorious.
Amen.
You just got to believe it. Not believe it because the Bible says it. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If God made it, then I'm victorious because He made it for me and you. He made it just for me. Don't think about other people, or He made it for Pastor Jim, or He made it for, you know, President Trump or something. No, the day's made for you. God made the day for you to be victorious. So just go ahead and shout like you've already won. You've already won. I mean, you don't have to worry about your healing or your sin or anything. I don't even think about that kind of stuff. I just think about, man, God is good. And He promised. Whatever He promised, He is able to perform. Right? It says it right there in the Bible. If He promised it in the Bible, then He will perform it. So He does everything. And you do nothing. We hate that. I know we hate that. But that's the way to live. I tell you, it is. I know it's just, a lot of people think it's just Pastor Jim or something, but it's not. It's in the Bible, and that's the way we live. You can't do a work. If you do, you do it just by faith. Like, Lee and I had her mom and dad move in with us, but we didn't, you know, we weren't like, oh, wow, this is awesome. I mean, we were, you know what I mean. But we did it by faith because we felt like Jesus told us to do it, so we did it. It's working out great. I mean, they're, you know. It's a death sentence, but no, to our flesh. But you know what? So you just do things by faith. That's all you can do. And you got to be happy doing it. Even if your flesh doesn't like it, you just rejoice. Hey, God, this is great. Man, my flesh is dying. I love it. I don't really love it, but God loves it, so I love it. See, this is by faith. Everything's by faith. The just shall live by faith. Right?
Amen.
So enter into his rest. Shout the victory every day. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, it says in Psalms. See, that was from, I was reading Psalms one day, and I read that scripture, and God showed me. He said, no, it was go ahead and shout. So I did. I shouted in the morning, because I'm declaring his loving kindness in the morning, his faithfulness every night. His loving kindness in the morning, because his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah, I have the victory. So I shout, I go, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I got the victory. You're shouting the victory. And then, at night, you just declare his faithfulness. God, I'm not dead. Now I made it through the day. I can't believe I made it through the day. I didn't even, you know, I only cussed 3 or 4 times. I did pretty good today. No. Not that. I'm just saying. Then you declare, because God's faithful every day. Man, God, you provided all my bread. You gave me, like, my wife got a revelation on that, about that prayer where Jesus said, the Our Father, where it says that, give us this day our daily bread. Well, God's provided for that day. So I'm going to bed. I'm saying, God, you were faithful. I wasn't, but you were faithful. Thank you, Jesus. You were faithful. I made it through the day. I'm still happy. I still want to do your will. It's hard for me to worship my mind. I'm sure I do, but I'm just not that smart to do that, I don't think. But, you know, you just go, God, you are so faithful. I could have died today. I could have, you know, did this sin, but you kept me. You kept me from that and this and the other thing. And you forgave me all the bad things I did today. You are so faithful. And that's just the way you live. And that's how you talk to Jesus. Just talk to him straight and plain, just like the Bible says. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I do it all day because I'm like, I have a weird thought or something. I think, God, I'm coming right to Jesus. I'm coming right now. But I'm just doing it. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just doing it by faith. But I'm coming right now. If I still have that thought in a second from now, then, you know, you got to do something. I put all the problem, you always put all the onus on God, because he's the one that promised. If he's the one that promised, and he's the only one that acts in the world, and he's the only one that can be good, he's the only good in this world, the perfect, then I put all the onus on him. Because the minute you put onus on you, like you have to be something or do something or say something, then you're under a law. Then you put pressure on yourself, then you're going to sin all over the place. You're going to be proud, you're going to be depressed, you're going to be something. So always put all the onus on God. And he'll deliver, because he's awesome. He's the only one that can do anything. And that's the way I do it. That way I'm happy all the time. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not perfect at it at all. I mean, gosh, you know, I get frustrated and all that, just like everybody else does. But there's always a but there. But then I remember the Lord. Because I always forget. I do all day. I'll be working real hard, because Leah knows how I work. I'm so focused that I'll forget. I just forget about God. I'm not thinking about him. I just forget. So I'm just doing my own thing. I cut my hand. I have all these problems. And now I remember. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a Christian. I forgot. I'm a new creation. I'm spiritual. I'm not, you know, a natural person. But anyway, then you remember the Lord. And he brings that up. And the more you do it, every day, the more it becomes a habit, becomes a part of your life. It's just talking to Jesus, driving down the road. Jesus, man, I sure do love you. You are awesome. Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my kids. You know, thank you for, and I thank him for all my enemies. I thank him for everything. Because, oh gosh, I read a scripture, so it was really good. Wish I could remember it. Is it time, Jack? What time is it? What? Okay, I just want to read just one scripture for a second. I read it this morning. It was really... Oh, yeah. Because I was singing about the elections because I was going to vote. Do we have to vote Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. Don't worry. I just don't remember things. I didn't really vote, no. But even that, you don't have to worry. Do your thing. Do whatever God tells you to do. Vote. You know, I was even a delegate one year. When Trump got elected, I was a delegate. That's the only reason why he got elected, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. Because that's the only time I've ever done it. But anyway, I'm interested in all this. But anyway, this really blessed me. I don't know why. I can't explain it exactly. But I hope it blesses somebody about these upcoming elections. It's Psalm 75, verse 6. It says, promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is judge. He putteth down one, and he sets up another. And so God's going to... I don't even know how to explain it. But everything always, always works for good. I tell you what, these elections will work out for good. Because God has an agenda, and that agenda is for the church to be ready. He's not getting us ready like we're going to go through persecution. He's getting us ready beforehand so that when it comes, we'll all be ready. But that's because that's a promise. It's not because we're great or we're wonderful or we did the right thing or didn't do the right thing. It's because God promised. So he's getting us ready. And I've always thought that. The moment Trump even won or whatever, and the moment all that stuff happened, I just thought, well, we have a little bit of time. Even though it's not perfect. I know it's not perfect. But we still have a little time. And that's God's mercy. Because God loves the church. He loves us so much. And I would do that for my own children. If I knew they were going to have problems, I would want them to be prepared and ready so that they can make it through. And I think that we got more time. I just thought it was awesome. I'm not mature. I'm not even, you know, I'm still just like a little kid. You know, you better do something because I don't have time. If I'm being persecuted, I'm just going to, I'll fold like a cheap suit like right away. Especially if, you know, they want to cut my head off or something. Well, that might not be too bad, but if they want to torture me, I might waver a little bit. But if they're just going to chop my head clean off, that's no big deal. It won't be that painful. I don't care about dying. I just don't want it to be... We and I talk about it all the time. We don't want to die. We just don't want it to be painful. I'm just kidding. Sure. But, you know, that's just the way we're people. We just think funny things. But, you know, I don't want my fingernails pulled out and stuff. That'd hurt. Yeah.
What was that scripture that you last read, the promotion?
Oh, Psalm 75. It's a short little... I just read it this morning.
Six, thank you.
75, verse 6. Yep. 75, verse 6. All right. Are we going to take up an offering? Father, we thank you for this offering. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that these upcoming elections, Lord, they're taking care of everything, that we don't have to sweat it. We'll just go vote and do what you tell us to do, and then it'll be okay. And we won't have to worry about it. We'll be at peace. So whoever you promote, whoever is exalted, Lord, I pray that they will either come crashing down, because the Bible says some people are exalted and they get prideful. But Lord, I pray that there is humbleness in the political arena, and that people submit themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and promote those guys so that we can have time, more time, more time. We just want as much time as we can get, Father, to be matured, to be sanctified, to be built up in the Lord so that we can go through anything that we have to go through. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you. We love you and thank you for your word today. Thank you that it produces fruit, and that And that people will take it to our heart. We're all good soil. Everyone here is good soil. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.